Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
And this is Music from the Tower, your host, John Romeri. We are coming to you from the fabulous campus here at Christ Cathedral, the Tower of Hope. The whole campus is abuzz because we have Libera right here to perform for us. And while they were here, I snagged them for a little radio interview. So I have their founder, their director, their arranger, their musician par excellence, Robert Preisman. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you, John.
It is great to have you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your incredible schedule to be with us. They're on a 5-city tour here in the U.S., just finished a Japan tour a few weeks ago. You're all over the place. I'm reading up on my notes here, trying to prepare for today, and you're just everywhere. You've sung everywhere. You've done everything. I am so happy to say that I had you in the St. Louis Cathedral a few years back in 2010, and you're going back there again. And they are absolutely thrilled that you're going back there. So welcome back to the U.S.
Thank you, John, and thank you for bringing us here in the first place, really, in a way, because you were one of the reasons that we were able to come over a few years back and to establish ourselves as people that might perform in rather wonderful settings like St. Louis and so forth.
Yes, the pictures of you in my former cathedral are spectacular. So if you're listening out there, St. Louis, get yourself to the cathedral and hear them perform. It's just a thrill to have the boys here at the Arboretum, and we're looking forward to you coming back someday and singing, of course, in the Christ Cathedral building. But you've already been here. You've already sung in Crystal Cathedral. Tell us a little bit about that visit.
Yes, we did come here a few years ago, actually, in its former existence, and Robert Schuller was in charge of worship that morning, and we appeared on the Hour of Power, and we had the large orchestra accompanying us in the building, such as it was then. Of course, yeah. A very different layout from what it will be very shortly when it opens. But it was a terrific experience, obviously, for the boys. I don't think they'd ever seen anything like it.
Of course. I watched a little bit of the video, and it was amazing. You know, I mean, you were singing throughout the service. And who was the organist there at that time? Fred Swine?
Well, Sean Groombridge was our host and was playing at that time.
Okay.
Actually, yes. And he's back playing keyboards for us this week.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, yes. Oh, how great. Good. Well, we're thrilled to have you here. The concert is just going to be so much fun. But my gosh, you've done a PBS special. I know you sang at the National Shrine. I was so happy to help push that along. And that is a spectacular PBS special, which is still available.
Yes, we're very, very proud of that. I'm so grateful that we were had the opportunity to sing in such a fantastic place, and we had such fun sort of lighting it. Yes, it was quite extraordinary. I mean, it was only set up at a very short notice, and nonetheless, we had loads of people there.
Oh, that place can pack in a couple of thousand, right?
It was wonderful, yes.
And the lighting must have been really fun in such a cavernous space.
It was a great opportunity, yes. So that PBS runs. We have another one which was filmed a year before that in Armagh Cathedral in Ireland. And so that one, of course, we were able to use a group of Irish musicians there, but of course very much something which had a home in the States as well. So we were glad to be doing that PBS as well.
Well, we're happy you were at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. We are even more overjoyed you're here at Christ Cathedral. Tell us about this choir, Libera. How did it begin? Where did this brainchild come from?
It was kind of accidental, really. As a musician myself, writing for television and radio and so forth, and having once been an organist but kind of changed my keyboards to synthesizers and things like that over the years, I was quite fascinated with the way you could use those kind of sounds and mix them with the voices that I was training anyhow as part of, you know, my own operation in doing music for mass in London. And it just came from an idea, really, to combine the two. So some of the earlier Liberar albums are really quite inventive in terms of the sound palette. And we mixed the boys and sampled their voices and did all sorts of very unusual things with them. And it kind of has evolved over the years, really, as our audience have reacted in different ways. And because it's worldwide, Liberar is different things to different people, really. So in Japan, a particular aspect of the performance and the boys' sound appeals, and in the States, a different one. And, of course, it has its roots in a very religious background, but to some of the places which we take Liberar, of course, they don't have that religious context at all. They are just responding to the music in a different way. So we have to cover quite a range of music, really, and with the pressure, to be honest, with record companies and selling records to the public, you need a degree of familiarity. So we, over the years, we've added a lot of what you would call covers, where we're singing well-known pieces. So on the current album, for instance, Charlie Chaplin's Smile. But equally, you would find a lot of original music, which is very, very much the core of what we do, really.
Yes, this is not your mother's boy choir, that's for sure. I mean, when we think of England and King's College and Westminster Abbey and Westminster Cathedral, and they have all these famous boy choirs, but these aren't like that.
Well, they are in a way, and if you were to hear them in their homeland, as it were, singing Mass Sunday by Sunday in churches in South London, you would hear them singing the traditional repertoire. And, you know, just recently they've sung the Brahms Requiem, for instance. They also sing quite major musical works as well. But they're in one manifestation, they're a very large four-part traditional eight-part choir, because the boys that travel grow older, of course, and their voices change, and they still stay in Liberar. So we have a group of mid-teenagers who are starting to sing alto, tenor and bass. And then above them, there are their predecessors who are older, student age group and into adults. So it's a very large group with all of them. And if you add to that the babies who are as young as six, some of them, we do start them quite young.
So do you have a pre-training choir?
So there's about 75 in the whole group. Yes, wow. That's right. So we call them the mini boys.
Yes, that's great.
And so they haven't come away. Although our youngest boy this week is eight, actually coming away.
Wow.
So they do come away when they're quite young.
Yes.
So it has many different sort of forms, really. And the sound that you're hearing with the boys in the Liberar music is the same sort of boys' sound.
It is. Oh, it's absolutely.
That you would associate with Kings and
it
so
It might
forth,
be the arrangements it? Or the accompaniment, the instrumentation, but it's absolutely that fabulous, yeah. Pure boy sound.
Yes, I think we're tapping into the same thing. And also, I think, from our point of view, we're a charity and we're an educational establishment as well, and I wouldn't want to be doing something which was only my musical arrangements and my music, because there's such a wealth of wonderful music out there waiting to be sung, which the boys have the experience of doing. So we're doing our job by giving them all of that.
So when they're not touring to South Korea, Taiwan, Singapore, Philippines, the U.S., Japan, and all over Europe and England, do they sing every Sunday?
Yeah, they're singing at Mass twice every Sunday.
Two Masses a weekend?
Yes.
At which parish?
We sing at several, and sometimes we split them, so that sometimes the older ones are singing in one church and others in another. So, yes, it's quite a fun time we have.
And who directs them in all these places? Always you?
Well, no, because I usually go with the core group, but I have several, mostly old Liberar boys, actually, who
are
very
great?
Fine choir masters and music directors in their own right.
Have a lot of the boys moved on. We're going to talk to some of the boys in a future segment right here in a few minutes. But have some of them gone into music? Have you?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, indeed.
What year was this whole choir established?
Well, the roots of it go back a long way. The idea for Liberar started about 2000.
So it's been in existence long enough to see some of these girls
indeed,
grow
yes,
up. And,
yes.
And some went off to music school.
Yes.
It's very gratifying.
Very honoured sometimes to conduct a choir in which I've got a whole range of music directors in the back row.
I know it. I've done this for 500 years myself, and it's amazing to see these kids come back, or, you know, even hear from people from my cathedral days in Pittsburgh and in St. Louis, you know, people who have grown up and then their kids began to be in my choir.
Of course.
That was very scary. And then, you know, but you're getting little notes from people all through your lives. And it's one of the joys of being a music director of children.
Well, you don't know, do you, really, what seeds you're sowing for the younger minds and what they're catching on. So some of them, it'll be a nice thing to do, and hopefully they'll enjoy it, and it's given them a good training for life. But it may not necessarily be something they do when they're older. Others, it may change their life completely, and they may go into it, and it may change them in other ways.
Now we're going to listen to a little piece. We've got to hear some music. So we're going to hear Sanctus. Tell us about Sanctus.
This is an example of an arrangement, and it's set to the words of the Sanctus. And it's quite a good example of the range of the boys' voices, because the top part hits a top C, and the texture of the Liberar sound tends to come from a multi-part harmony. So the boys split quite a long way across a couple of octaves. So you're hearing this, a very good example of the range.
Well, here it comes, and we'll be right back with a lot more about Libra and Robert Priceman. You're listening to Music from the Tower. This is Music from the Tower, and this is John Romeri, and we are so privileged today to have Robert Priceman here, the director and the founder of Libra. Libra means freedom, right?
Indeed it does, John.
Yes. So,
from Libra Me.
Yes, exactly. Yes. This choir is free to go anywhere they want. They're not tied to a college chapel or
a cathedral
church like Westminster. They're not. They're free to go everywhere. And my friends, let me tell you.
A great name, I have to say, internationally, because some of the countries we go to don't quite understand the concept. Perhaps pronouncing the word even is not quite so easy.
Yes, I had a struggle myself.
But you're doing okay.
My goodness, they've been to the Riverside Church. They've been to St. Louis Cathedral, Minneapolis Cathedral, all over. Certainly here at the Crystal Cathedral and now at Christ Cathedral. You've sung for popes. You've sung for presidents. Tell us about all that.
Well, we've been very lucky to have been invited to a few of those things. Yes, we did the Kennedy Honours. And the celebration was for Brian Wilson that year. And, of course, he had been a choir boy.
Right.
So we sang an arrangement of his song, which also gave the name of the film about him, Love and Mercy. And the boys fronted that and, you know, did their own harmonic version of it.
Did you write that piece?
No, Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys, wrote the piece. But he was kind enough to be quite impressed because, of course, he was very innovative with vocal arrangements as well.
Indeed.
He actually commented that we sounded a bit like the Beach Boys, but actual boys.
Actual boys, yes. Actual boys, not just Beach Boys.
So that was a great job to do, obviously, of course.
Well, you're right here near Huntington Beach, the Surf City USA. you're right in the right spot for that. Exactly.
We've got the right atmosphere.
You are right here in Southern California. It's wonderful. So did you come over special for just the Kennedy Honor?
We did for that one, yes. The one which you also mentioned there, when we were very honored to sing at the Papal Mass at the Yankee Stadium when Pope Benedict was here a few years ago. We were actually by chance over here doing a tour.
Oh, that worked out great.
So that was excellent. I'm very glad to do that one,
of course.
I bet
they were thrilled. Of course, our friend Jenny Pasquale, the music director at Jennifer Pasquale at St. Patrick's Cathedral. I was just telling Robert I was honored that my son was first flute in that orchestra. And what a great day that was. I was not present for that one. but watched it with...
Well, it was quite funny because we had to be back at school, or the boys had to be back at school, as often happens on these tours, the next day.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, after the chaos of the end of the Mass, when millions of people turned out onto the streets, the boys had to be rushed off to the airport to catch the flight.
Wow.
So they actually checked in with their robes still on.
Oh, gosh. And you've sung for Pope Francis as well.
Last year, we sang at the vigil event in front of the about 1.7 million people live. Again, another great honour for us to be part of that. And we also did our own concerts in churches in Krakow and one in the town square there.
From the World Youth
Boys,
Day.
That was all part of
World Youth
Day, yes.
Oh, great.
So we came by coach across Europe to do that. It took 2 days to get there. But that was fantastic for the boys, of course, with millions of pilgrims there.
Oh, my gosh. And all kids, you know. And what a great model that kids can sing amazing, beautiful music.
I think sometimes people miss out on that, actually. I think boys, even very young, are capable of terrific standards, and you can get them to enjoy very sophisticated music and to really get very involved in it all when they're very young. And I think it's a mistake to think you have to feed them special baby music or even children's music.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. Of course, I knew that of you, but all you have to do is hear one song by this group. But it's certainly the way I've always approached this, and I've been criticized for it, really. You know, it's like, well, you don't get kid music. Well, kids don't need kid music.
No.
You know, we just had a whole week-long camp, and we've sung beautiful things all week long.
Yeah.
We've sung parts of Gregorian chant. We've sung all sorts of things. There's not one kid saying, well, where's the drum set? And where's the, you know, nobody's asking those questions.
They don't understand that. They come to it completely clean.
Yes,
and they just respond to that. And you talk about the chant. The boys often latch onto that fantastically.
Exactly.
You're quite frequently hear them singing, you know, little bits of chant, you know, goes through their brain and won't go away
the
hook of a pop song.
Well, it's about the longevity, and of course in liturgy it's about sustainability. You know, there's a certain repetition to the liturgy, and some of the songs you can't stand to hear the second time around, leave alone, you know, 6 months later.
No, I mean, they have their place, and I think the instant sort of music is useful, and certainly if you've got a big youth gathering and you want something which will instantly get it infectiously involved with it, then that's a terrific style of music. But I think you wouldn't want that every week, would you, really?
No, and it's sad to think that, some people, especially Catholic children, have sung only 5 years worth of our 2,000-year history. And there's hundreds and hundreds of years of great music that they're not exposed to.
I think it's very difficult, and I think we spend a lot of time beating ourselves up about whether or not the music is something into which everyone can join and whether everyone can contribute. And we sort of analyze the music and whether or not it's suitable and whether the congregation can sing it all. And somehow we miss out on all this fantastic music that, as you say, is available to us over the centuries.
Right.
Almost embarrassed by it sometimes.
Yes,
it's a great shame to me.
The choir might sing a piece alone.
Yes.
You know, or a piece of polyphony in which the people don't participate.
Yes.
Well, participating can be listening.
Well, absolutely.
And can be,
yes.
We participate looking at great artwork.
Yes, it's difficult, but then, you'll very quickly get someone say, oh dear, see, the choir was giving a concert again this morning,
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
you just can't win with it, really, can you?
Very difficult thing.
I don't know. I have to say, if I go to Mass myself and I'm not performing, the last thing I want to do is sing, quite honestly. But that's me.
I'm desperately searching for the quiet Mass when I'm on vacation. But nonetheless, these wonderful boys are trained, and really you founded this group and have watched it blossom really into a worldwide phenomena. We have people that have flown in from New York all the way across the country for tomorrow's concert.
Really?
Know? It's amazing.
We're very honored.
And then they say, well, is there anything nearby for children? Well, how about Disneyland? You know? But they're coming for you.
That's great. I mean, it's very tricky with the States, of course, because we would love to get around a great many more venues. We post news of a concert in LA, for instance, and immediately you get people saying, why aren't you coming to the Northeast? Why aren't you going here or whatever? But of course, you just can't do it. And because the boys are at ordinary schools, they aren't a choir school like the Vienna Boys Choir. They're not even at one school where, you know, the headmaster could say, well, it's okay, as an educational trip, they can all go away for a fortnight or something. We can only travel when the boys are actually on holiday. And that means, in the States, of course, you're looking for quite a bit of time, only really the summer holiday or maybe the Easter holiday when you've got long enough to actually move around. So we're here now for nearly 3 weeks, but actually we can only realistically get about five or six concerts into that time.
You're doing five cities?
To actually get, because we're going from LA and then we're going across to Houston. And we're going up through Tulsa and ending up at St. Louis. But, of course, if you work out the actual travel arrangements for that, you'll realise that does involve quite a number of days, really.
A lot of days, exactly. And stick to those John Romero cathedrals. That's what we like to hear. We want you back time after time after time. Well, from 2000, 1995, all the way till 2017, it's been quite a ride, hasn't it?
We never asked for it. It just, I have to say, it just kind of happened in a way. Yeah. Yes, I never really suddenly had an idea to create sort of thing. It just happened.
And the tours as well. I mean, I'm sure there's just, when you first came to me in 2010, it wasn't like you were totally unknown. Believe me, you have thousands and thousands of hits, 27 million hits on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm told that's gone up to 32, actually.
32 million hits on YouTube. Yeah. All you have to do is check out any of their YouTube things, and you're hooked for life. Every time I'd send out an ad about your concert, which is selling well's first section, sold out, everything gone. All I had to do was put the meet Libera, and there it was. You know, Libera is a huge, huge group. We had people while you were practicing peering into the windows. They couldn't wait till till you were here. Well, let's hear a little more music, and then we're going to talk to some of the boys. Tell us about our next piece. This is a piece that you wrote, right?
Yeah, this is a specifically Libera piece, and it's fairly recent, only in the last couple of months, written for the new album, which is called Hope, and is available in the very best stockists. The words come from the prayer, which perhaps a lot of people know, Angel of God, my guardian dear, and it is mixed with the Latin version of it, and it starts very rather mysteriously, and then eventually erupts in a great climax. And mixed with the Latin and the English and so forth, it's very much a typical Libera piece.
Just remember, listeners, that you will always be able to find links to the album Hope, their brand new album, on our website, and you'll be able to hear the entire cut on our website. Here comes a little bit of Libera, and we'll be right back with the boys. This is Music from the Tower, and my name's John Romeri. I'm your host for this program, and today we have Libera. We have Robert Preisman, the director, the arranger, the founder of this fabulous group, and we have Peter, Alex, and Leo with us. Hi, boys. It's great to have you. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you,
hello.
Too.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. We are so happy you're here at Christ Cathedral for your performance. So, Robert, tell us about these wonderful boys, how long they've been in with you.
Well, this is Leo.
Hello, I'm Leo.
And Leo, yes, good. And Leo would be, I think you're 12, aren't you, at the moment, is that right, yes?
Well, okay. I'm really close to turning 12.
You're 11 and 11 Very months young. Or something, are you?
Yeah,
right.
August.
Okay.
And Leo, how long have you been in the choir?
Oh, I've been in the choir for, well, it's going to turn 3 years in February.
So you joined when you were about 7 or 8, didn't you?
Yeah, I joined when I was 8.
Yes, okay. And then we've got Alex, who's probably, you've probably been in longest, haven't you?
Yeah,
actually,
1 year. So. Yeah, I have been, last February, we turned to 4 years in Libera.
Right,
yes.
And you came in year 3, as we call it, in England, which is like when you're 7 turning 8, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yes, right. And there's also Peter.
Hi.
And what you're? Are you? Have you turned 10? You were going on 11, are you?
Oh no, I'm 11.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And how long for you, Peter?
I've been in the choir about 2 years. So yeah.
So these are all pretty new guys, huh? Two or 3 years in the performing.
Well,
group.
But then you have to consider that a boy joining at say the age of 7, his voice might start to go a bit lower by the time he gets to 13 or 14, possibly.
Right, exactly.
So there's a period during which there's a massively accelerated sort of learning, and they become really very professional, as good as adults, really, by the time they start to have their voice changing. And then, of course, they find a new pitch and start singing with a lower voice.
So, Alex, did you have music lessons before coming to this?
No. I was before Libra, I wasn't really familiar with singing at all, and it was kind of a new experience for me in as a whole. But I found that I was quite good at it, so it was quite of an opportunity for me.
I bet Mr. Priceman agrees, right?
I think, I mean, that's an interesting point Alex makes, that often when we first meet the boys, they have not sung very much. They might have sung a little bit at school, but they don't come to us applying, as it were, and then coming to an audition with pre-prepared classical
so
music.
That's
or
really
something
quite different than other English choirs.
We discover them, really, and my job is to try and assess their, if you like, musical intelligence rather than their musical ability at that stage, because they won't have done it very much. It's a new thing. So, I mean, that's very typical.
How about you, Peter? Were you a musician when you arrived?
No, I didn't really have any experience with any kind of, like, music.
Did you read music at all?
No. Well, before I joined Libra, I was really unfamiliar with music or anything. So when I came in, I was like, it sort of unleashed my potential and then...
I'd say Mr. Priceman have given you an incredible gift, hasn't he? Yes, touring the world. Yes, and how about you, Leo? Any music?
Well, I think I was about to go on to trumpet, but otherwise, no.
Wow.
Couldn't really.
So that is quite different from England. I mean, I've heard other people, even Philip Stopford, people like that, you know, who got turned down by kings and finally, after years of struggling, got into Westminster Abbey, you know. But those boys come with a whole pile of musical education.
Yes, I think if you're lucky and your parents know about these things, perhaps, you know, take you to a music teacher or something like that, so you might start younger.
To prepare you for such an audition.
But in general, the boys haven't sung before because they're so young, really. I mean, some of them are only 6 or 7
right.
years old.
And they all come from South London? Is it pretty much located in...
Yes, they come. And we have a lot of contact with some of the schools in South London, and they're very supportive. So they spread across places like... if you know of such places, Brixton, Streatham, where else do we come from? Balham.
Herne Hill.
These are all places south of the Thames.
So as you said...
Not very far from Wimbledon, actually, where the tennis comes from.
Okay,
if you want
we
to get
that.
A sense for where it is, but more into the urban centre, really.
Wonderful. And so what's your favourite part about being in Libra, Alex?
Well, this choir gives us so many opportunities, and the people to which we sing to are just very warming, and they just give us a sense of hope, like...
It's like being a rock star, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, the people we're talking to on the phone, getting ready for your concert tomorrow night, are just filled with anticipation. They can't wait. You know, yeah. I mean, they have so many questions about your concert and when the doors will open. And, you know, it's like being a rock star. It's certainly a rock star right here in Garden
City. The audiences are very warm. I have to say they're very different, and it's quite interesting. We've just been to Japan, haven't we? And I'd say the Japanese audiences are a little bit more challenging, actually, because they're so respectful that they will never interrupt the music. And they wait for quite a few seconds at the end before they clap. And then they clap for a long time. But whereas an American audience will typically make quite a lot of noise before you even stop the last chord. Yeah. It is quite warming for the boys, I must say. It's very reassuring to have that sort of reaction.
Well,
of
let
course.
Me tell you, everybody's ready to clap before you even open your mouths, you know. They're going to go crazy when you walk on. How about you, Peter? What's your favorite thing about being in Libra?
Well, I love just, like, touring around the world, going to different places, like, seeing what the world has, and also... Just, I love singing to people, like, knowing that we can make them happy and making them happy, and it just feels really nice.
Of course, you, Peter, you actually introduced some of the show, don't you, by announcing. And, in fact, you introduced the section when we tell them about how the boys come from lots of different backgrounds, because although all the boys live in London, so what is it you remember what you say there?
Oh, yeah,
You can't remember what you said.
Should I say what I say?
Sure.
Well, although we all live in London, our families don't only come from here, and many boys don't only speak English.
So Alex, for instance, would introduce himself and say...
Dzień dobry, ja mam na imię Alex Kula. Moja rodzina pochodzi z Polski. Tak naprawdę, ten świat jest mały.
And then I'd name all the different people and where they come from, and then I'd go on to say how there are more... people from different countries, not just the ones that you see here. And, for example, I'm actually from here. I'm half American, so...
Wonderful. What city?
Well, we come from Los Angeles here.
Okay, great.
Well, a town called Bakersfield.
In the Central Valley. Wonderful. Yeah. Great. And what about you, Leo? What's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing is probably touring, getting to see new cultures and... the wonderful things we get to do. I like the thought of singing to so many people at such a young age, the uniquity, if that's a word. And I really like having technically a second family, and all of the people I get really close with and stuff.
So what do your folks think about you being away for such a long time, almost 3 weeks this time?
My mum thinks it's amazing. And so does my dad.
She's happy to have the opportunity for you, or she's happy to have you out of the house?
Probably both.
Probably both. I think that's great. Well, where was your favorite tour?
Well, I haven't really done much in this tour, but probably going to be quite...
Yes, no doubt this will be your favorite. But besides the one to Southern California, where was your favorite? Did you like Japan?
Oh, yeah. Japan was amazing.
And what other countries have you toured?
Oh, well, we've been to Poland and Germany, in Poland, we've done a religious World Youth Day event, and we sang to 1.5 million people. Really amazing experience.
That's quite a lot of people, right?
Yep.
More than most rock stars get to sing for.
Yeah.
Where was your favorite tour, Peter?
Well, I really liked Philippines, which was actually my first tour, so... That was, like, really fun, and we got to see a lot of the Philippines and see its, like, wonderful, like, oceans and all the beautiful sights.
Yeah.
So that was really a nice place to be. It was just
And these
beautiful.
Long plane trips. You're really far from home.
Yeah, the plane trips are long, but it's definitely worth it. It's the amazing places we get to go.
And you, Alex?
So, my favorite tour was the Philippines, just as Peter, but I went on the one a couple of years back. It was the same as the one which we had a few...
More recently.
Yeah, more recently. But it's just... The Philippines, it's just... It's, like, really... The water is, like, really clear. It's just... There's so much tropical... Like, it's,
beautiful.
Like, very tropical there. And so it's... You look around and there's, like, a mango tree
Well, we will have many Southern California Philippine descendants very, very happy to hear all of that. We're going to hear Alex sing a little piece right now. Tell us about this, Robert. What piece is he going to sing?
This is Alex starting off another track from our album, of course, Hope. It's Wayfaring Stranger, the American folk tune, and it's a special Liberal arrangement.
And here we come.
And I should say, actually, that it's arranged by, not by me, but by one of the old Liberar boys,
great?
Who is now part of our staff, and that's Sam Coates.
Yes, and Sam's been with you for quite a while. I remember him at the St. Louis concert way back in 2010.
So yes, once stood on the stage and sung the solos.
Exactly, himself. And now here comes Alex starting this piece off, and we'll be right back with a lot more from the boys of Libera and their director. This is Music from the Tower. This is Music from the Tower, and we are privileged to have the Libera Boys, three of these wonderful singers who will be singing for us right here at Christ Cathedral, and their director, Robert Priceman. Now, we've been talking about this as a choir as though it were a normal choir. This is no normal choir. Robert, tell us what makes this choir so unique.
Well, the Libera presentation is obviously different from what you would have if you were singing in mass. So we do take it as a travelling show, really. So it's done like music theatre, and we have an orchestra. We have a lot of keyboard sounds and percussion and so forth. So there's a great range of different sounds, and the boys, of course, on top of it. But also we have lighting. And the boys are also performing. They're moving around on stage. So the whole thing is
so you're not just holding a folder, right, Alex? You're really singing totally from memory.
We're singing totally from memory. No books. But first of all, before we have to read. Like, we learn the songs as normally, but then we have to read it. We have to remember it all. And yeah, so it's
practice in rehearsals.
Yeah,
And how long are rehearsals? How long do you rehearse each week?
Each week. It's not necessarily...
Well, each rehearsal. Is there a two-hour rehearsal?
Oh, it can be up to, 3 hours.
Are you listening, American choirs? Are you listening, Diocesan Children's Choir of Orange, that we're after 2 hours totally spent? 3 hours. Wow. And how many times a week?
Well, if it's before we're going on tour...
Every
once
day?
Or twice a week.
Once or twice a week?
Well, it's always twice a week, isn't it? Well, it's three times. There's three major rehearsal slots a week, aren't there, if you count Sunday. And then you sing two masses on Sunday. And then we quite often have another rehearsal for a show because you need a longer time, really. Because the boys, they get up, some of these people, at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to school. They come to a rehearsal at 7 o'clock and then they finish at 9:30. They have the most extraordinary days. They work very hard. But obviously there's a limit to what you could do at the end of a long school day, so we do have to call extra rehearsals for the shows. And the boys also have some individual coaching sessions as well, so that would be an added...
Vocal coach?
Well. Yes.
Or movement
right, yes.
Coach?
No, we're not that serious about the
movement. Okay.
About the movement. Sorry, let's say that again. We're not that serious about the movement. They move well as a group, but we're not talking about music theatre choreography. It's not quite that sort of thing.
No, but it really is spectacular. The first time we had you in St. Louis, the lights in that cathedral were just spectacular. But you're really at the mercy of whatever the local lighting company is able to do for you, or do you have a lighting script that goes with...
Yes, because we travel around, of course, with it, we have to pre-program the lights, so you take it around on a USB stick.
Yeah,
technical
it really
details.
Is, it really
and
is
then if you plug it into a a commonly found desk, then the lighting director has them already there because it works with the music and so forth.
Peter, tell us about your robes. They're pretty unique.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're like long white robes. They can get quite uncomfortable, but...
What?
Well, you
tell us more, Peter.
You can get really warm in them, or you can get cold.
But on the other hand, they look nice.
At
least you don't have one of those frilly things around your neck you have to wear.
It could be worse.
It could be worse. That's a great way to look at it. So they're white robes, but they all have hoods. You're sitting here now in these little tops, and they all have hoods. Is that a trademark of Libra?
Oh, it looks good, and it also keeps us out of the cold. It's really weird with the robes, because sometimes we're really hot, or we're really cold. So, yeah.
And do you have special Libra coats as well, Alex?
Oh, yeah. Unique.
Yeah, we do. They're coats, but they're like our special trademark ones.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, when you have King's College, they come in their little top hats and all that stuff. So with Libra, there's always these wonderful hoods.
They're quite practical, really. I mean, the things they're wearing at the moment, which are T-shirts with hoods, they're very lightweight. But, of course, in the Californian sun, something
we don't know about in London,
we would use them to protect their necks and so forth because...
Well, and of course, these white robes turn a myriad of colors because of all the lighting.
Yeah. Yes, very, very good.
Mm. Yeah, they look cool with the
blue,
lighting.
Red, white.
They can turn different colors and you can get really cool effects. Whether it's
any color.
Well, as our audience and all audiences that come to see Libra will experience, or even just watching them on your billion hit of YouTube, it's really quite spectacular. All right, now let's get each boy to tell us a little dirt about something that went wrong on a tour or sometime when everyone turned one direction and you turned the other direction. Or Alex, you have something good for us? Oh, Peter does. Okay, Peter.
Okay, so during at Poland, at the massive vigil then, I didn't really realise until the end of the song that there was a massive, like, grasshopper, branding was crawling up my robe all the way, and you could see it on TV, and then at the very end of the song when we were walking off, it reached my neck, and then I brushed it off quickly. And then when we came back for the final song, like when we came back off the stage, it was slowly crawling up the microphone. So it looked like it was trying to jump off it, but when I brushed it off, it must have got a bit hurt because then it was, like, crawling off and it, like, couldn't move over.
Do you ask for special pay for this hazard on your tour? How about you? Do you have a special tour fun story?
So, it wasn't really on a tour, but on my first concert, I just, like, me and my group just forgot to come in for a certain song, so we just stayed back and everyone was really confused.
You were off the stage?
We have a junior group, don't we? When you first start, there's what we call mini boys, and their group only join in certain songs because it's too much for them to
And after all that practicing, you forgot to
you
come
did,
out on the stage?
You did miss one song, didn't you? Yeah, so it wasn't actually the whole thing.
Also, in the middle of songs, we always have itches, so we tried to keep good, but,
keeping singers still is the bane of every choir director's existence.
When the lights go out, we kind of, go into an itch fit or whatever.
When you see us tomorrow at Holy Mass, we're singing at the end of our camp mass, and we've got little preschoolers all the way through fourth grade in our preparatory groups, and... keeping them, the director who's doing that is a miracle worker. He's amazing. I can't do the young kids at all. I just have the older kids.
Well, we have the older boys helping with the younger ones, don't we, actually? That helps a great deal, I think.
And so are these at the top group now? Or
what would you regard as top? Well, I suppose the older boys in this group that are travelling away with us now are 14, so they're a couple of years older than these boys. But these are all boys that would sing solos or do featured things during the concert. So I think it's a question of what you regard as
And how do you
boys,
get how do you really get a solo? Do you audition against other boys, or does
sometimes
Mr. Prizman just pick you?
Yeah. Or Rob
just both. sometimes you get picked, or sometimes there is the rare chance that you can that you audition against other boys, but mostly it's just
it's a definite answer.
Yeah, it's like you get picked for it. You get picked for it for like for a specific reason if your voice fits the solo.
Different sort of, yeah.
I think that's the important thing, actually, that the voices fit certain solos. And the range is one obvious thing, is whether or not the notes are comfortable.
And of the three of you, who has the highest voice?
Leo.
Me.
Oh, Leo, how high is your highest note?
Very high.
Well,
up to high C? Higher than that?
At least a high C. You do a T, don't you, in one...
So you could do the Allegri for us every Holy Thursday.
He's talking about the Miserere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could probably reach that.
Was that one of your pieces?
Well, so Leo is one of the high, what we call the high firsts. So there's a small group of boys that specialise in doing the very high notes. But you don't need too many people doing that.
Just a few.
It sort of overpowers the whole thing.
And so how is the choir divided? Let's talk about the parts. So there's the very high.
So there's high firsts, which is me. There are seconds, which would be Peter. Yay.
There's first. Well, there's firsts, aren't they, who do... Typically, they do a lot of the tune first, but not always. But.
The first will do, like, the main tune. Then it's the second who will do the harmony, which is not that low. And then they'll have the thirds, which are, like, Alex. The lower harmony.
Yeah,
Alex
I'm
is
a third.
The third.
Yeah, I'm a third.
And then you can have fourths sometimes, and then you also have tenors.
So the tenors are kind of alto. So they're the older boys at that change in their voices when it's just gone a bit lower, so it still mixes quite well with the treble sound.
Well, let's hear one last piece. This is a spectacular arrangement of Joyful Joyful, so our listeners will certainly know this tune. It's a little Beethoven tune. He dragged it into a two-hour symphony, but you arranged it into an amazing...
Well, it was a hymn tune, wasn't it, Annie? I think it's quite well known in this country.
Right, it is, indeed.
But yes, it's certainly based on the Beethoven.
And so this has been a wonderful hour with our friends from Libra. And we want to thank Peter, and we want to thank Alex. We want to thank Leo, and certainly we want to thank you, Robert. Thank you for being with us. We look forward to your performances here at Christ Cathedral for many, many years to come. And we look forward to welcoming these guys from England over and over again. Here. This has been Music from the Tower. This is your host, John Romeri. And until next time, I urge you to go out and listen to some great music in live performance. Thanks for listening.